The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" So if you have an expectation of something nice happening to you and you don't believe, think again. It's going to be really unpleasant. If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven?" Which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. So again, if you're a nominal believer, you've made a decision at some point and then carried on as though the Almighty doesn't exist, you don't want to die that way. So in both cases, you need to up your game. If you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may know as Jesus. To put this in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Today's teaching is the essence of my message to Christians, part two. Overview of the broadcast. This broadcast examines the most important elements of my message as they apply to Christians. It is stressed that we exist to be friends of the Creator. It is noted that those who followed Yeshua suffered massive persecution. It is stressed that all authority was given to Yeshua after his death. Yeshua is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. It is noted that Yeshua is scheduled to return around May 3003, 987 years from now. It is pointed out that the world is such a mess because of the contest. It is stressed that it is vital to understand that Yah, the Creator, is Chesed, love. It is noted that Yeshua told those who follow his example to worship only the Creator, not him. We are enjoined to seek truth, not error. It is noted that when unbelievers die, they become ancestor spirits, demons. It is pointed out that there are various ranks in heaven of those who please the Almighty. It is noted that Satan was sent to the pit for 1,000 years on the 3rd of May 2003. It is explained that the earth is ruled by a junta of seven demonic masterminds. And finally, we examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See particularly the top line of the menu for a video about relationship and an article on the miracle of the death of Yeshua. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show at the top menu and then podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Answers to questions from last week's program. Why are the names different than what we were taught in our churches? The names, remember that the Bible was translated from Hebrew and Greek. Some say it was translated from Latin. Doesn't matter, it was from a foreign language. The people who did the translation didn't necessarily know the correct names and the correct pronunciation. They came up with the best that they could come up with. And those have persisted, even though today we have all the information we need to have the correct names. So the names that I give you are, to the best of my knowledge and belief, correct. The ones you find in the Bible and that are taught in most churches are not correct. Question number two. I'm still a bit confused about this stake setup. Was it on the ground and he was thrown onto it to die, laying on the ground? Or was it upright, where he was lowered onto it? If lowered onto it, how did that work? Basically, imagine a piece of tree trunk, probably about 15 feet long, 5 meters, fairly large diameter, about 10, 12 inches diameter, jammed into a hole in the rock and standing vertically. He was then placed on that with his arms above him, with his hands one upon the other, and a nail was driven through both hands together into the trunk near the top of the piece of tree. Then another two nails were now hammered through his 2 feet. Another single nail was hammered through his feet, and he was left either pushing up on the nail through his feet, which was extremely painful, or pulling himself up on his hands through the nail and his hands. Extremely painful. He had to pull himself up in order to breathe, but then the pain was so much that he had to let go, and then the pain was in his feet. So he was constantly in spasm because of the pain in his feet and the pain in his hands. Nowhere to turn, no way to alleviate the pain. A horrible way to die. Point number three. How long is your stay in the lake of fire and brimstone? Nobody stays in the lake of fire and brimstone. If somebody is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, they have a moment of torment and terror, and the fire can totally consumes them and utterly destroys them. That's the only way a spirit can cease to exist, is if it's cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the incinerator of heaven. If you're a believer and you sin, you go to hell. That is not the same as the lake of fire and brimstone. Question number 4. Why do you have to make it for all the different religions? Are things lost in translation? The key thing here to understand is that each religion preserves some truths. The satanic and demonic realm have gone out of their way to corrupt what people believe. And they've corrupted different things in different religions because different religions have held on strongly to different truths. So Christianity, for example, knows the fundamentals about Yeshua, Jesus, as we've been discussing. But they have a lot of error in because they believe that Yeshua is God, Jesus is God, or Yeshua is the Almighty. The Muslims, for example, know that Yeshua was a prophet and not the Almighty. But then they have a whole lot of other error. So 80% of the message that I will share in each of those documents will be the same, but about 20% of it will be different and the emphasis will be different for the Christians, different for the Jews, different for the Muslims, different for other for the non-believers, and different for those who worship the Bible. Question number 5, wait, is that a family tree or something? I question this about all that baguette list that you were reading to us. Yes, absolutely, that is the family tree of Joseph, the human father of, or supposed human father of Yeshua. And it's important because it shows deeply that the family that Yeshua was born into was a Hebrew Jewish family. There's a lot of wrong thinking about that. 6, did you say Joseph was raised from sleep? I'm not sure I understood that. Just the way the language in the King James Version is. He was wakened from, he was asleep, he had the dream, and he woke and acted on the dream. So he went out and took Miriam, who you might know as Mary, as his wife. Question number 7, do you ever get confused with the names you're telling us? Not really. I've been using them for a long time, most of them for close to 20 years. So in the early days, they were difficult to pronounce and so forth, but I got accustomed to them fairly quickly. Are you currently married? I'm not legally married. I have covenants with 3 ladies. The essence of my message to Christians. So let's pick up where we left off, just to recap. As I said before, I've now reached a point where Father has shown me that my understanding has matured and consolidated to a point where I can write an article summarizing all the key points that relate to my message as my message applies to Christians. I aim to produce similar articles for Jews, Muslims, unbelievers, other religions, and also Bible worshippers. If you're a Christian, I urge you to listen to this series to the end prayerfully, and then to pray the prayer at the end of this series, which will probably be part 3 or part 4. Introduction with some elaboration. Nearly all of my writings are presented on the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, including a set of PDF volumes, which are available on the compilation of most writings page, which is about 2/3 of the way down the menu. For direct words from the Almighty to myself, see the Important Insights page, which is about halfway down the menu. I read those out, I think there were 5 or 6 broadcasts a few months ago where I read all of those out. Those are verbatim quotes of things that the Almighty said to me in 2014 when I was hearing him particularly clearly. To summarize, this series presents a headline review of most facets of my teachings as they apply first and foremost to Christians. It is stressed that Jesus was a Jew and that his name could therefore not be a Greek name, which is what Jesus is. His name was Yahushua, Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A, meaning Yah is salvation, where Yah is the true name of the Almighty Creator. A number of common English translation errors in the majority of English Bibles are discussed, and from this it is evidence that there is misunderstanding amongst most Christians of the reality that Yahushua, Jesus, was a human being and not God in the flesh. It is noted that it is grievous error and sin to worship Jesus or worship Yahushua. We should worship the Creator alone. The history of the Bible is discussed, and it is noted that the Bible is a valuable history book, no more, and that it is not the Word of God or the Word of Yah, and it is sin to worship it, which is what you do when you call it the Word of Yah. It is noted that the only reason we exist is to be friends of the Creator, and if you're not living life with that objective, you're missing the whole reason for your existence. A wide diversity of other topics are discussed. To restate a point that I've made quite a few times in the last few months, we exist to be friends of the Creator. There is fundamentally only one reason that human beings, this planet, this solar system, this universe exist. And that is because the Almighty Creator, who has always existed, was lonely and wanted companions, and specifically friends. A friend of the Creator is the highest achievement in this life, and anything short of that is a misfire, particularly if you've not even attempted to achieve this status with him. Being a friend means that you talk to him constantly, you know his true name, Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, and you use it exclusively. He talks to you constantly. You know his plans and participate in them. You know his goals and work towards them. You pray his will into existence on earth in close consultation with him. You're a turnaround emissary, incorrectly normally spoken about as a turnaround prophet, and are changing the spiritual dispensation on earth in consultation with the Creator, and so forth. If you qualify as a friend at the end of your life, then you qualify to sit on a very high throne in heaven with a glorious resurrected body, great authority, great prestige, and great power. Folks, it's so important to grasp this point. There's only one reason this whole earth and everything on it exists. There's only one reason why you exist, is to be a friend, confidant, companion of the Almighty. If you're not seeking to do that, you're going to get to the end of your life and be bitterly disappointed. I can't stress that enough. To continue with our train of thought, those who followed Yahushua suffered massive persecution. Following the death and resurrection of Yahushua, the believers in his covenant suffered massive persecution by the Jews and the Romans, such that the religion largely died out in Israel and survived primarily in Greece, where the believers adapted their religion to Greek pagan tradition in order to gain greater acceptance and reduce persecution. The religion became progressively more corrupt. It was also eventually adopted in Rome with further corruption. This resulted in the religion we call Christianity today. It is vital to understand that the knowledge we have available to us today, primarily through the Bible, is corrupt, incomplete, inaccurate, and therefore of limited reliability. It is vital to get close to Father to seek truth. My website contains a huge amount of information of the order of 1,000 web pages, which you can turn to for a lot of information. The Jews did not, or the Yehudites did not understand who Yeshua was and why he came. The followers of Yahushua deified him, worshipped him almost from the beginning. He appeared to various believers, in some cases with his spectacular resurrected body, and because of that they made the wrong connection that he was the Almighty in the flesh rather than a powerful resurrected human being. And then the more they got into error, the more they got persecuted spiritually, the more there's been a teaching about a year ago on the judgment in this life. So the more they adapted to the Greek pagan culture, the more they corrupted their belief, the more they sinned, the more they got judged, the more they persecuted. The way to avoid persecution is to get into all truth and be it free of sin, and then the unbelievers, the satanic, cannot touch you. All authority was given to Yeshua after his death. All authority on earth was given to Adam, who gave it to Satan when he rebelled and ate the forbidden, when Adam rebelled and Adam ate the forbidden fruit, and in doing so submitted to Satan. See Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And the Almighty, incorrectly God, blessed them, and the Almighty said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Yeshua regained this authority by living and dying without committing a single sin. Regrettably, almost no believers live without sin today, and therefore the satanic and demonic realm dominate on earth today, and almost no one walks in this authority. In order to gain this authority, Yeshua had to be 100% human, and he had to live without sin. If you will choose to live your life above sin, you too will have great authority on earth today. So important to understand that once Adam listened to Satan, Satan became his master. If you submit to sin, if you let sin dominate you, you are submitting to Satan and serving Satan. It doesn't matter how sincere you are as a believer, if you have sin in your life, you are fundamentally a servant of Satan. Continuing. Yeshua is seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Yeshua is now seated at the right hand of the Father, the Almighty Creator, waiting for his enemies, the satanic and demonic realm, and their human servants to be made his footstool. This requires believers to live free of sin, which almost no one is doing, and wage spiritual war in his name. If his enemies are not made his footstool, Yeshua will not return. Yeshua is scheduled to return around May 3003, 987 years from now, in 2020. Yeshua is scheduled to return around May 3003, 987 years from now, but only if there's a human without sin and in right standing with Father Yah to call for his return. If there's not such a human being, Satan will rule on earth forever. See the article Satan to the Pit 2003 near the top of the website menu and other web pages. Folks, this is so, so important. Yeshua, we have to make Yeshua's enemies his footstool. If we do not rule and reign on earth and take authority over the satanic and demonic realm, such that there is at least one human being in full truth, free of sin, on the date that Yeshua is due to return, Yeshua will never return. And it's so important to understand Jesus is not coming soon, folks. They've been saying for about 200 years, Jesus is coming soon. It's a misinterpretation of verses in the Bible. He's not coming for another 987 years. The world is such a mess because of the contest. The world is such a mess because believers have abdicated their responsibility to live above sin and dominate the forces of darkness. This is in response to the contest between Yah and Satan, which came about after Satan rebelled before the creation of Adam and challenged Yah to a contest to prove that if he was sent to earth, Satan would so corrupt mankind that after 7,000 years, there would not be a single person who was in right standing with the Almighty who could call for Yeshua to return. And in that case, Satan would rule on earth for eternity, and Yah would withdraw from earth. As things stand at present, Satan is well on track to win the contest. There are a very small number of people truly in right standing and free of sin and error at a level that sets them in a position to pray for Yeshua to return. My mission on earth is to increase the number of such people dramatically and to lay a foundation to make this turning around enduring and sustainable and to last to the end of the current millennium in 3003. What Satan did not realize is that when Yah withdraws his spirit from earth, all living things, plant, animal, and human, will immediately die. So Satan will win a pyrrhic victory and be relegated to the satanic and demonic realm, fighting amongst themselves. So important to understand the contest, folks. Otherwise, this world just doesn't make sense. Key point. Yah is Chesed. Chesed meaning covenant love, loving kindness, mercy, grace. This is a fundamental principle. Yah fundamentally is not a vengeful, angry God. He's not a vengeful, angry, mighty one. He is a loving Heavenly Father. He created us. He loves us. He wants the best for us. But we've messed up. Adam messed up. Every generation since Adam has messed up. This generation that we live in today is the most messed up generation there is. That's not what Yah intended. It was not his plan. Yes, there are times when he just gets exasperated and gets angry, but he is fundamentally not an angry, mighty one. He's a loving Heavenly Father. He wants to love you. He wants to give you the best that he can give you. He wants you to prosper and be in health. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants to have a deep relationship with you as his friend. So important, folks. So many people believe wrong of Father because of all the nonsense, all the wrong thinking. I really urge you, if you're one of those people who thinks about Father as a vengeful, angry God, to recalibrate and rethink. Please. Continuing. Yeshua told those who follow his example to worship only the Creator, not him. Yeshua told those who follow him to worship only the Creator. Yah, the eternally self-existing, refer to Matayahu or Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37. Yeshua said unto him, Thou shalt love Yah, the eternally self-existing, thy mighty one, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all their mind, with all your mind. This is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 7, which says, Hear, O Israel, Yah the eternally self-existing, not the Lord, our mighty one, not God. Yah the eternally self-existing is one. You shall love Yah the eternally self-existing, our mighty one, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This must be read in conjunction with Exodus 20, 2 and 3. I am Yah, the eternally self-existing, not the Lord, your mighty one, not God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other mighty ones before me. Folks, a couple of important points there. Notice that Yeshua, answering the scribes and the Pharisees, quotes the Old Testament. He did not bring something new. He said, love the Creator with all thy soul, with all thy heart, with all thy mind. There's no space left for love Yeshua or love the Bible. It's an exclusive, all-encompassing commitment to the Almighty Creator. So important to understand that. Continuing with that theme, reading Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 to 10, and Moshe, not Moses, called Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep them and do them. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. Ye are the eternally self-existing, our mighty one, made a covenant with us in Horeb. Ye are the eternally self-existing, made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. Ye are the eternally self-existing, our mighty one, talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between Yah, the eternally self-existing, our mighty one, and you at that time to show you the word of Yah, the eternally self-existing, our mighty one. For ye were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount, saying, I am Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other mighty ones before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, am a jealous mighty one, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. It's so important to understand that last point, folks. For those people who don't believe, they're cursed. For those people who do believe, there are blessings that go to at least the third generation. So if your great-grandparents were believers and you're an unbeliever, you will still be blessed because they're a believer of their relationship with the Almighty. On the other hand, if you're an unbeliever and you're, or even if you're a believer and your previous generations were all unbelievers, you are cursed even to the fourth generation. So there's a key piece here, folks. If you come from Africa where they've been worshipping ancestors for thousands of years, I'm not wanting to be ugly to you, but you're cursed. And you have to pray and you have to cut off those curses. And you need to realize that the reason that the people who've been serving the Almighty for generations are blessed, and that's the reason why people from Africa get sick more and what have you, it's because of the curses that are on them, and nobody tells them to cut off the curses. How do you get rid of curses that you don't know exist? So if you are of African descent, you need to go through a total cleansing process to get rid of the curses that are on you, and then you won't end up with what we've got with the COVID, etc., where black people are dying far more than white people. I don't know how to say this without offending you, but I'm trying to help you. Going back to the passage of the Ten Commandments, the word translated before, where it says, you shall have no other mighty ones before me, is Strong's number 5921 from Strong's Concordance, which is an exhaustive analysis of every single word in the Bible. Google Strong's Concordance and Wikipedia to read about that. This indicates that number 5921 is effectively a meaningless word. There are literally over 150 different meanings ascribed to the word translated before. If you Google Bible Hub, Strong's number 5921. So the clear meaning of the two passages above is that you shall have no other mighty ones apart from Yah. Clearly that demonstrates that it is sin to worship Yeshua, or esteem him in any sort of religious sense. Fundamentally, by definition, Christianity breaks this commandment. And since the Almighty Creator spoke these words to the entire assembly of Israel, from the mountain at Sinai, it is clear that it is an abomination to worship Jesus or Yeshua. In this context, it must be stated that anyone who breaks any of the Ten Commandments will face harsh judgment when they die, if they have not repented and turned away before death. Principle we've talked about before, seek truth, not error. A fundamental principle of serving the Almighty is to focus on truth and not on error. The world is full of sin and error. Do not let that overwhelm you. Seek truth at all times and disregard the error, other than to the extent necessary to note it for what it is and then disregard it. When unbelievers die, they become ancestor spirits, in other words, demons. When unbelievers die, they become ancestor spirits, also known as demons. They stay with their bodies in the grave or the crematorium oven, or they are harvested by Satan's servants and deployed to lead others into sin. There are over 100 billion ancestor spirits on earth today. If Satan loses the contest, the ancestor spirits will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and utterly destroyed. If he wins, they will remain on earth, ruled by Satan, and the Almighty will withdraw his spirit from the earth, and all living things will instantly die, leaving the demons stuck on the corpses of their hosts forever. There are various ranks in heaven of those who please the Almighty. There are various ranks in heaven. On the website, look at the page Demographics of the Kingdom, about two-thirds of the way down the menu. The lowest rank of those who really please the Almighty is wise steward. This requires that you seek truth, seek to walk above sin, and constantly seek the Almighty. On the 25th of December 2015, there were about 200 people on earth who qualified. You will get a glorious resurrected body and significant esteem, authority, and power. Next closest to the throne is good and faithful servant. You are more directly involved with the matters of the Creator on earth. This was about 5,000 people back then. You will get a more glorious resurrected body and greater esteem, greater authority, and greater power. We'll talk later about some categories in heaven of people who make it but are not really pleasing to Father. We're focusing here on those people who actually qualify to be pleased with Father and to be close to the throne. Closer still is overcomer. You're walking in truth, you have victory over sin and the forces of darkness, and have a material relationship with the Creator. You will get to sit on a throne together with a glorious resurrected body and significant esteem, authority, and power for eternity. There were only 20 people who made it into this category on the 25th of December 2015. Finally, there are friends who sit on the highest thrones with the most glorious resurrected bodies, great esteem, authority, and power for eternity. There was one of these on the 25th of December 2015. For the most part, these numbers have not changed much in the last 5 years. Some new people have qualified and others have gotten into sin and error and dropped off. There should be much greater numbers in all of these ranks. You can qualify. Folks, my heartfelt word to you is choose today to go all out to become a friend of the Almighty. The worst that can happen if you don't quite cut it is that you'll get to be an overcomer, or maybe if you don't quite manage that, you'll be a good and faithful servant, and if you don't manage that, you'll be a wise steward. Very difficult for you to get a lower rank than that. if you keep messing around with the other stuff and you don't get filled with the Spirit, you will just be a foolish virgin. If you get filled with the Spirit and you continue to worship Jesus and the Bible, you'll be an adulterous wife. You don't want to be those. You'll still be in heaven. You'll still have a resurrected body and so forth, but you'll be far from the throne, and you will live forever with the knowledge that you messed up. I strongly encourage you to seek to become a friend. Give me a call. Drop me a line. I would love to help you. Resuming the different points, Satan was sent to the pit for 1,000 years on the 3rd of May 2003. Satan was brought before the court of heaven on the 3rd of May 2003. The charges against him were read out. He was convicted of crimes against humanity and sentenced to 1,000 years in the pit. He will come out on the 2nd of May 3003, 983 years from now. See Satan to the Pit 2003 on the website menu near the top. Shortly after that, if there is a committed believer in right standing with the Creator on earth, at that time the final judgment will come, and Satan and all the satanic messengers, that's angels and demons or ancestor spirits that follow him, will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and utterly destroyed. If there is not a person in right standing, Satan and his followers will rule on earth forever, and Yah will withdraw his spirit, and those who at some level follow him, and all on earth will die. Folks, this is such important stuff. How do I know Satan was sent to the pit? I was the one who spent 2 years preparing. Spirit came of Yah came on me. He gave me the words to speak to command that Satan was arrested and brought before the court. He gave me the charges to read out before the throne. He gave me the sentence to ask for, and he instructed me to command Michael and Gabriel, the other two archangels, to take Satan in chains and cast him into the pit. If you're not aware of that, your whole understanding of what has happened on earth in the last 20 years is likely to be significantly incorrect. We see further that the earth is ruled by a junta of seven demonic masterminds. Today, with Satan in the pit, the earth is ruled by the junta of seven demonic masterminds, brilliant men and women who died as unbelievers not long after creation. See Demonic Masterminds Direct near the top of the website menu. This is so important. The first unbelievers after Adam were powerful men and women, highly intelligent. And when they died, Satan suddenly found himself with a new resource and very quickly mobilized them to help him. Because after all, they were human, so they understood human beings. They could help him to come up with schemes to lead human beings into error. And they did so. And so you get these demonic masterminds who've become beings like taking on names like Zeus and Baal and Jesus. Powerful, powerful demonic spirits ruling the whole of the satanic and demonic realm with an iron fist, with training programs, with controls, with policies and practices, and with a clear plan of how they are going to win the contest. They have a lot to gain, or at least they think they do. So in closing, I would like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator right now? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to him. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, there's an important point just to make clear here. Father is a friend to everyone who truly believes in him and has some sort of level of relationship with him. That does not mean that you are his friend. It means that he is your friend. In order for you to become his friend, you have to get free of sin. You have to develop a relationship with him. You have to get clear on what's going on in the world today. And then slowly you will come to a place where he will start to tell you his feelings and his hurts and his disappointments, where you can discuss things. Very, very different relationship. And he wants that with you. And I encourage you to make the decision and start praying the prayers. Some key documents and a video, main menu web pages. There's a video at the top of the menu, Why Seek Relationship Most Important. This is the most important message I've ever created. If you are seriously thinking of becoming his friend, I would recommend that you watch that video. Then there's a document, The Miracle of Yahshua's Death. Really, really important to read that and understand what it's about. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator. If you've decided to draw close to Father, this is the thing to read. It's on the website, close to the bottom of the menu. It's also available for download off the page behind the home page. Download it, study it, apply it, do everything that's recommended in it. And I'm very confident that if you go all out within 2 years, you will become a friend of the Almighty. Recommended worship, songs to sing with corrected words. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. How can you worship somebody when you don't know his true name? And this explains all the different names that I've used in this article. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? So important. All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. There is a set of PDF documents available to download with covers and everything. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The article keyword crowd is a very comprehensive index. The Google search is full Google functionality on the website. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, I can't stress enough. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female, short or tall, thin or fat, educated or uneducated, wealthy or poor. It doesn't matter your nation. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. It doesn't matter if you what nation you come from. It doesn't matter what religion you belong to. It doesn't matter what anything. It's there for you now. Good night. Father, I